You know, I prayed about this afternoon about what to preach tonight, and I really believe that I'm right on target. And I believe if you listen very carefully to the song service tonight, you'll have to agree that what I'm getting ready or what I'm going to preach here in just a minute is exactly what the Lord wants tonight. If you listen to the music, and there was one cue in there that really set my heart aglow, that let me know that I'm on target for what God wants me to preach tonight. I'd say the young people will probably pick up on it real, real quick. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua and chapter number 24. Joshua and chapter number 24. Really, the entire chapter needs to be read. 33 verses of it, but I'll not take time to do that tonight. I'll only read a couple of verses, and then we'll try to get right into the message. Joshua chapter 24, and I want to begin reading in verse number 14. Read verses 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord.
Amen.
And serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord.
Amen.
And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now may God add His blessings on that. Let's pray together. Our Father, I'm thankful for the song service tonight. Thank you, Lord, for our young people singing. Thank you, Lord, for the congregational music. How it blessed my heart tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your people that are faithful to come back out. Be in God's house on Sunday evening. I know there's other places they could be, but I'm glad they're here in the will of God. And Lord, helping to support the church and the preacher. I pray your blessings upon them, not just tonight, but throughout their life, that the good hand of God would be richly upon them. I pray tonight you'd save their little ones, their loved ones. I pray you'd bless them with spiritual wisdom and with great power from God. I pray you'd give them insight into the Bible and help them to understand. I pray you'd help them to overcome sin and trials and tribulations of life that are sure to come. I pray now, Lord, for liberty in the house of God tonight. I pray for that fresh oil. As David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. So anoint me with that fresh oil tonight and grant liberty to speak, Lord, what the Lord has laid upon my heart. And may souls come to know Christ. And Lord, may your people be richly blessed and Jesus' name magnified. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Jacob or Joshua made this statement, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then he went on to say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I'm going to read some other verses in the Bible, but you'll have no need to turn there unless you want. You can stay right with me here in Joshua, and I'll try to bring the message God's laid on my heart for tonight. But I want to preach tonight on it's time to make a choice. And I'm preaching this for the same reason I believe Joshua made this statement in his day, that I believe it's time for a lot of God's people to make that choice in this life, that it's time to choose whom we're going to serve.
Amen.
And he gives you three different alternatives there, two alternatives in the Lord. And I'll mention more about those in just a minute. But I want to preach on that thought. It's time to make a choice. And I believe it is time for God's people to make a choice. We're living in the final days of this dispensation. Somebody said, preacher, I hear that all the time. You hang around here, you're going to continue to hear it. And I'll tell you why, because I want you to be mindful of it. And I don't want you to be able to tell the Lord, Brother Hall didn't tell us. Because I'm telling you, we're living in the last days. And Jesus is soon to appear in the cloud to call us home to be with Him. This thing is just about over. And I'll tell you, children, we've got just maybe one more valley to cross and one more mountain to climb, and it'll soon be over for us. And we don't want to give up on God now. We want to make that decision in these last days of whom we're going to serve, and then finalize it by saying, it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, chapter 24, as it begins here, Joshua deals with the final months, or he's dealing with the final months in his own personal life, in the life of Joshua. He has led the people of God across the Jordan River, and he's divided unto them their inheritance. He's been instructed as he was instructed by the Lord. And Joshua has finished his work that the Lord called him to do. But you know, it's a marvelous thing to see that here, after completing the work that God's called him to do, that he's still serving the Lord, living in the final days of his life. In fact, chapter 24, winds up the life of this man by the name of Joshua that lived to be 110 years old. And I'm thinking he's 110 in this chapter. And so he's living in the final days of his life, and he's still found with an ardent desire to serve the Lord. He said, now you choose whom you're going to serve. He said, I'm telling you, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And he was in those last days when he made that statement. I hope I can say that, don't you? I don't know how long I'll live. I doubt it that I'll live as long as my father's lived. My daddy lacked 2 weeks being 90 years old, and Miss Hall said, you may live to be 190. I don't believe that. And in fact, I've got serious doubts to making it to the 90 mark. And so I doubt I'll live as long as my father did. But no matter how long I live, when it comes time for me to lay down and die, I want to be found still serving the Lord. I don't want to be a has-been, and I don't want to be a used-to-be. You know, there's so many used-to-bes in the world today. I used to preach. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to tithe. I used to go to the house of God. I used to be faithful. But I don't want to be a used-to-be when it comes time to lay down my life. And I'll tell you, if you remain faithful to God like Joshua did, you'll be glad you did so when it comes time to meet the Lord. I'll guarantee you on that. Absolutely. I'd hate to meet God knowing in my heart that I'd been unfaithful to the work and the ministry of the Lord. Now, in these verses, verses I'm referring to, he calls Israel together. Joshua calls them all together, and he rehearses their deliverance from the Egyptian bondage. He explained to them how God brought plagues down upon the Egyptians, and how the Lord brought them to the Red Sea and brought them safely across on dry land and drowned the army of Pharaoh in the Red Sea. Their chariots, their horse, and their horsemen all drowned in the Red Sea. And he's here rehearsing all of that to them. If you'll read in the book of Deuteronomy, you'll find that Deuteronomy is no more than a rehearsal of everything that happened in Israel's life up to their passing the Jordan River and going over into Canaan's land. And so he's rehearsing with them the blessings of God upon their life and what God did for them. You know, church, I believe it would help you and I if we had just sat down every now and then and rehearse in our own heart and mind, or meditate in our own heart and mind what God did for us the day that He delivered us. Now, I'm not talking about going back till yesterday. I'm not talking about going back a month or two. But I'm talking about going back, and you may not have been saved in a month or two. But I'm talking about going back to that day when God delivered you from the house of bondage. When God delivered you from the iron furnace. When God delivered you from the power of sin and from Satan, and gave you liberty in the Lord. It would do you good to rehearse that in your heart over and over and over again. You know, I think one of the greatest problems in our churches today is that we've lost sight of Calvary. Now I'm telling you, if we ever lose sight of Calvary and what God accomplished on the cross for sinners like you and I, we're going to become, of all men, most miserable. I'll tell you, the joy of the Lord proceeds from Calvary. Somebody said, how can that be? Christ suffered in such a way, and at the hands of sinful men. He suffered bodily, and He suffered physically, and He suffered spiritually. So how, on heaven's name, can we rejoice in that? We can rejoice in that He did that for you and I. Calvary ought to be a place of real joy for somebody that's been saved by God's marvelous grace. For that reason, He came into the world. It did not shock the Lord Jesus Christ the day He died. He was foreordained as a lamb slain to come into the world and die for our sins. It didn't shock Him. He's just as omniscient as the Father is. And He knew very well, for this day, came He into the world that He might die on Calvary's cross to redeem sinners from their sin and grant them eternal and everlasting life. Now, I'm telling you, that ought to be the joy of the child of God. But I'm afraid today that we've forgotten the cross. Yeah. You know, we're looking for the deeper things of the Christian life. And friend, you're not going to get any deeper than Calvary. Yeah. If you can fathom the depths of Calvary, you've done something that most Bible scholars have failed to do. I think it was Charles Spurgeon that was all just drawing close to death. And Spurgeon said, I've just now begun to understand the riches of the grace of Almighty God. Now, I'm going to tell you, if there was ever a scholar in the Word of God, Charles Spurgeon was a scholar, and that's the statement that he made when he come to the end of his life. And I'll say that's true for you and I today. We certainly need to rehearse those things when God delivered us from our bondage. And then he reminds them of the victories in the land of promise, and the possessions that the Lord has blessed them with. And I want to say again that we ought to constantly be reminded, and we ought to constantly remind ourselves of the victories that God has given us in our life. Somebody said, well, the Lord has only given me one. Well, if that's all He had given me, that's where my mind and heart would live, right there on that one victory. I'm afraid too many of God's people are reflecting on their discouragements and their defeats rather than setting their heart upon the victories that God has already granted them in this life. Surely God delivered you from sin. That is one victory He's given you that you can remind yourself of. And there have surely been other victories. If you've lived very long, there's been some sins in your life that you've overcome. You ought to remind yourself of those victories and be thankful that God has brought you that far. Now, I want to say this. If you'll thank God for where He has brought you, He'll take you just a little bit farther. Somebody say amen right there. And so every victory that we've had in our life, we ought to get down on our knees and thank the Lord Jesus Christ for that victory. Now, in verses 13 and 14, he's looking for a continued and a future commitment from God's people in their service to the Lord. Yeah. I'm going to say to you tonight, I'll preach in just a minute if you let me get there. But I want to say tonight, I really believe that's what I'm looking for in the people of Island Ford Baptist Church, is a continued and future commitment to the work of God. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what on earth do you mean? Well, I'm older than most of you in here. There's some of you in here that may have me by a year or two, but I'm older than most of you. In fact, most of our families, I would consider young families in this church. Amen. It's a young church that a lot of preachers would love to get their sticky fingers on. I'll say that, amen. But most of you are young people. If the Lord doesn't come when I think He's going to come, amen, it may be such a thing that Brother Hall is long gone off the scene like Joshua was. Amen. But yet, When Joshua went off the scene, and I'll prove it in a minute, these people were still serving the Lord. I want to say to you, that would be my heart's desire tonight, is to leave an impression upon you that if Brother Hall was to be called home to glory, that you would continue with your commitment that you have made unto the Lord. I mean, hang together, hang in there, don't give up on God, stay right with God, keep on worshiping God, keep on tithing with God, keep on coming to the house of God, keep on singing, keep on praying, keep on fellowshipping, keep on supporting the man of God, and continue in that commitment that you've already made to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. That is exactly right. And he's looking for that commitment that they've already made from the Lord, that they've made in their service to the Lord. And in verse 24, the Bible said that they made that commitment. For it says in that verse, "And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." When Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you're going to serve," they said, "We're going to serve the Lord, Joshua. Even after your departure, we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to continue in the ordinances and the faith that you have delivered unto us. We're going to continue the commitment that we made to the Lord. We're going to follow through with what we said we're going to do." And I may be getting ahead of myself. I may say this again. But surprise, surprise, surprise. Israel was a nation that was always going back on God. They were always falling into idolatry. They were prone to wander from the God that loved them. And they were always falling off into idolatry. Every time they moved into this country or passed through this country, they would pick up on the gods of that country, and they were continually falling into idolatry. But not this generation. Not this generation. This generation made a commitment to serve the Lord, and they continued to serve the Lord even after Joshua's departure. Now somebody said, "Brother Hall, is that significant?" You better believe it is. I could name you church after church today whose pastor has been there for a number of years and died and went home to be with the Lord. And most of those churches today, pardon my expression, they're not worth a flip of a used booger. They're deader than 4 o'clock in the morning. Their preacher is compromised. They're not preaching a thing. There's no standards left. Amen. There's no worship left. There's no God left. Now, I'm telling you why. It's because the people did not follow through with their commitment. Somebody said, "What were they doing?" They were following a man rather than following God. I'm telling you, God wants you to follow me as I follow him, but God wants you to follow God. Amen. That's what he told to Peter that day. He said, "You follow me, Peter. You just keep on following me." And that's what I'm telling you now. You just keep on following God. Amen. Now, they lived up to their word. They kept the vow that they had made. It said in verse 31 of that chapter, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua," not only all his days, but all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua. They served the Lord all those days. Now the question Joshua asked here, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." In other words, he said, it is time for you to make a choice. I won't say tonight, I believe it's time for some of us to make a choice who we're going to serve. If we're going to serve God, let's serve God. And if we're going to serve the gods on the other side of the flood, then let's serve them. Or if we're going to serve the gods in the land of the Amorites in whom you dwell, let's serve them. But Joshua said, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It makes no matter to me who you serve, but me and my family, me and my house, we're going to keep on serving God, ladies and gentlemen." Amen. Come on now. Help me out a little bit. He said, it's time to make a choice. And I'm satisfied it's time for some of us in here to make that choice. I'm satisfied that it is. It's time for some of us to make that choice. Now, that's not the first time that question's been asked to Israel. Or it wasn't the first time. The same question Moses asked in Exodus 32 when he came down off the mountain with the Decalogue. That is the Ten Commandments. And he caught Israel dancing around a golden calf.
Amen.
He asked Aaron, he said, where'd this calf come from? And you said, Aaron said, you know the mischief of the people. Said they set up, make us gods to carry us back down into Egypt. And he said, I told them, break off the earrings out of your wives' ears and your sons and daughters' ears and bring them to me. He said, and I just throw them in a fire and this calf jumped out. Well, you know better than that. They didn't throw them in no fire. No calf didn't jump out. He told Moses a lie. Ain't no calf. He made that calf. He made that calf. Now, I'm going to tell you what. It got just a little bit under Moses' skin, and he took those Ten Commandments and break them. That is the type of Israel breaking the very law of God. Come on now. And they did break the law of God. Amen. That's why they need a Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, to come into the world and save them by His marvelous grace. Now, stay right with me. Stay right with me. Here's what Moses, when Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi, by the way, he was a Levite.
Amen.
And all the sons of Levi gathered unto him. And they gathered unto him. And you know the story. They went in and out through the camp. He said, slay every man his brother. He went out in and out through the camp, and they slayed some 3,000 men. Moses crushed up the calf, strolled it on the water, and made them drink that water that golden calf had been crushed up on. But Moses made the same statement as what Joshua did. Joshua was standing right there with him. That may have been where he got his thought to say what he said. As for me, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. That's the same thing that Moses said in his day. Then I want to say thirdly, it's the same thing that Elijah said in his day. Elijah, when he challenged the people, he on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings chapter 18. And you know the prophets of Baal were there, and Ahab was there. And Joshua called all the prophets of Baal and Ahab together. And he made this statement. Elijah said unto the people, he said, how long halt you between two pinions? He said, if the Lord be the Lord, then serve Him.
Amen.
But if Baal be God, then serve Baal and follow Baal. That's what I want you to do. And you know the story how they challenged them to cut up that bullock, and they cried and cut themselves and carried on and never got a word from heaven. The God that answered by fire was supposed to be God. And old Elijah cut up his sacrifice and put it on the fire, knelt down and prayed 63 words, and the fire of God fell from heaven. And I'm going to tell you, the people cried out, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Somebody said, what happened? He turned that nation back to God that day. He brought them to that mountain, made that statement to choose whom they was going to serve. And when the fire of God fell, they cried out, the Lord, He is God. And they began to follow God in those days. Come on now. Come on now and help me. Now, in Joshua's charge, he said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Now, I want to mention four or five things and I'll be done, but they may take a little while, so don't get nervous. I want to mention, first of all, to us in making the application, that there was a demand that was made. Joshua didn't just nonchalantly ask them to make a choice. He didn't just kind of come out and say, y'all, you know, you guys need to really make a choice. And kind of like us today, we hem-haw around. I think we got to beating around the bush as much a Baptist day I've ever seen in my life. We want to hem-haw and hum-haw around instead of coming right out and telling people how things are and how they ought to be and how we ought to be. We want to hem-haw around the bush about it. Tiptoe through the tulips about it and walk on eggshells about it because we're afraid of hurting our friends' feelings. And most Baptist preachers are afraid of losing their position. Well, I've got news for you. I didn't have a position when I started. Amen. You'll catch that after a while. I'm not worried about a position. Now, I'm not worried about power. A lot of preachers wanting to minister because they think it gives them a lot of power. Baloney. They don't know. They don't know what power is. What power is? I'm going to tell you what it gives you is a burden. It gives you a load to carry. Amen. That's what it does. That's what the ministry does. It gives you gray hairs and wrinkles prematurely. It'll give you ulcers if you let it. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. You don't realize that the man of God's got the same things on his back you got on your back, plus he's got all your things on his back as well, and you need to understand that tonight.
Amen.
God helped some of you to pray for me. But I'm going to tell you, he didn't pussyfoot around and say, now, you know, come on, guys. How about some of you making this little choice? No, there was a demand made. He said, choose you. Choose you. And I won't say no one else could make that decision for them.
Amen.
And friend, nobody else can make that decision for you. I would to God that I could make Baptists serve God. But I found out a long time ago, you cannot make people serve the Lord. If they're not going to serve God, they're just not going to serve God. All the pleading, all the begging, all the reprimanding is not going to get the job done. I'm going to tell you what will get the job done. Getting Christ in the church and the power of the Holy Ghost on the scene and Him working in the hearts of people. Amen. That's right. That'll get the job done in the hearts of people and help them to serve the Lord, because the Spirit of God will give them the joy that they need in the time of that service to keep them going. And by the way, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen, that's right. That's right. He didn't give them an alternative. He said, nobody else can make, hey, your wife can't make that decision for you, sir.
Amen.
And sir, you can't make that decision for your wife.
Amen.
You have to make that decision yourself as far as personally serving the Lord. But I'm going to show you something here about Joshua in just a minute. He said, choose you, and no one else can make that decision for them. And then he said, this day. Hey, he said, no delay, no tarrying. If I can throw this at you, he said, they ain't even no need to pray about it. Choose you this day, not tomorrow. Today, buddy, it was laid on the line. They had a choice to make. If I can say it, like I'm not a mousy rat, but right now they had a choice to make. Don't you even go home and pray about it. You just make that decision today, not tomorrow. Now I'm telling you, that's what Island Ford Baptist Church needs to do, is make you a decision today. You need to make a resolve in your heart that you're going to serve the Lord. Somebody said, preacher, we're having it rough. We're fighting a lot of rough battles and having a lot of trials. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you, the trying of your faith is a very precious thing in the eyes of the Lord. And God will try your faith. And if He hadn't tried your faith, you don't have any faith to try.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's right. That's a precious thing in the life of a child of God. But He said not only, hey, made that demand to choose you, but He also made that demand this day. And then He made that demand, whom? Choose you this day, whom you're going to serve. Don't delay it. I want to hear from you right now who you're going to serve. Whew. I wonder how many Baptist preachers get by with that. Then I want you to line up here right now. Somebody said, I wouldn't do that. Moses did. He said, all of you that's going to serve the Lord, cross this line and come on over. And the Levites went to him. Elijah made that statement, and there were 7,000 hadn't bowed their knee to Baal.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, Joshua made that statement, and I'll guarantee they cried out, we will serve the Lord, and we will obey His voice.
Amen.
I wonder how many Baptist preachers today could get by with that walking up and saying, everybody's going to serve God. Once you come up here and lie up front, if you're not going to serve God, hit the back door.
Amen.
Wonder how they get by with that. I'd say it wouldn't work too good. Because there'd be some fence straddlers that wanted you to believe they was going to serve God. They'd fall in up here. So you wouldn't accomplish anything but run a few people off. Say amen right there. But whom? He gave them three choices. Now listen carefully. The gods, he said, the gods that your father served before the flood. Now, that's not talking about, if you were reading in the comments, that's not talking about the Noah's flood. I'm thinking it's talking about the sea crossing, I do believe. Because it talks about the fathers of Abraham here being on the other side of the flood. They certainly wasn't back there with Noah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, they ain't talking about the crossing of the Red Sea. But he said their fathers served before the flood. I'm going to tell you what God they served before the flood. Everybody listen to me. They served themselves. And in serving themselves, they served their original sin, their original ignorance, and their original blindness. And you'd be amazed at the people that are in love with their original and ignorant sins and blindness that they live in. And they're not about to come out of it. They worship that. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. Hey, don't tempt me on it. I've been around a while and preaching for a little while, and you'd be surprised at the people that make their brag about how sinful they are, about how ungodly they really are, and they're going to serve that sin all the days of their life.
Amen.
Amen. I had a fellow that I was witnessing to one time years ago when he was smoking a cigarette, and I said, cigarette ain't going to send nobody to hell. Now you smell like you just come from there, but it won't send you there. And I said, sir, don't you, when you really like to be saved and go to heaven? He said, in my face, nope. I'm going to tell you something. That's getting pretty bold. That's getting pretty brazen, folks. He said, you don't serve them gods on the other side? You're going to serve your lost condition? Oh, and you'd be surprised. In other words, are you going to be a servant of sin? Now, I'm going to tell you, there are people today that are servants of sin. And until God breaks that yoke, they will continue to serve that sin. That's what Joshua said. Are you going to serve sin or are you going to serve the Lord? Which one are you going to choose this day? And then he talks about serving the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Now, I don't believe I'm stretching the truth here at all, but I believe he's talking about modern religion of the day. And buddy, we got a modern religion sweeping across our country that's everything but old-time religion, son. Give me the old-time religion. That's what I like, is the old-time religion. I like the old-time worship of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Coming to the house of God and letting our hair down a little bit and worshiping Him. Singing a little while, preaching a little while, praying a little while, having a time in the Lord. Old time religion. I'm not interested in none of these worship, what do they call them? Huh? Praise teams. Somebody says to me, said, you got a praise team? I said, yeah, the whole church is a praise team.
Amen.
Praise God, they start singing and I start praising. Amen. Brother Brown talking about a preacher's wife come out in a long flowing gown and them things hanging all over. And the preacher told him, said, my wife's going to dance before the evening service. And he thought she was kidding, but said, sure enough, come the evening service, they moved that pulpit out of the way. And here she come out in my room back there with that flowing white gown on, just a swaying in the breeze, boy, doing that whole, I don't know what they call that. I don't want my wife up in front of the church swaying her hips around a bunch of men in there looking at her. So I say, amen right there.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I never read anywhere in the Bible where Jesus had a praise team. Now I'm going to tell you what a lot of them are going to. They're going to playing. Come on, they're going to playing. Fooling around with a bunch of junk and nonsense. Somebody was telling me just a couple days ago of a church up in Evansville, I believe, that they have got 12 giant screens in there. Right or wrong? Was I right or wrong? Four? Well, I only missed it by eight. That's pretty close. Four, they might as well have 12. Big screens up all over the building. There's one over in Louisville, a big Christian church that's got screens all over, even back in classrooms. And people sit back in there and they watch the service on a screen. If I was going to do that, I'd just soon stay at home and watch. Praise God, somebody on television just come down there and sit back in some little room and watch some idiot out there on a screen back in some little back room. Hey, that's modern religion, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm telling you, we're living there. We've got our way there. Hey, they want snare drums on the pulpit. They want a bongo beat. They want, hey, we've drifted so far from the true music that glorifies Christ that it is absolutely pathetical. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Son, I'm talking about the music. I'm talking about the old Ira Sanka hymns and them old hymns still glorify His name. Amen. Some of the hymns we got in our hymn book still glorifies God. But I'm telling you, in the modern churches, they want the beat. Amen. Because they know that that beat will draw a crowd. Hey, they can come to church. Amen. And dance and rock and roll and go home and make themselves feel good about it. That's modern religion. An independent Baptist have even went down that road. Somebody said a preacher not too long ago was in a meeting preaching. And somebody told me this, it was there. Said he got up and said, hallelujah to God. Said, if I had one, said, I'm still swallowing goldfish to get people into church. I thought to myself, you'd have to be an absolute nut to swallow a goldfish. Praise God, I like going down there and grab a catfish weighed about 15 pounds down his mouth. Amen. That's right, or an old carp or something like that. Maybe fish for it. Fall it down in there, drop a hook. Can you imagine that? Can you tell me how that will glorify God? Some man getting up in front of a bunch of people and swallowing a goldfish. Now you tell me how that's going to glorify Christ. I'm going to tell you what glorifies Christ. Preaching, praying, and praising. That's what glorifies God. He has ordained that in the house of God. Somebody says, well, that's your opinion. No, that's the Bible. Amen. Modern churches, boy. Said, what are you going to do? Said, you're going to serve the Lord for all this modern mess. I'm going to tell you, a lot of them's headed out to the modern messes. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of them's going out to these healing crusades. Yeah. Heal! Well, they couldn't heal a billy goat that had, well, I ain't going to say it. Whooping cough. Amen. That's right. They can't even heal themselves. They're going to get sick and die someday.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? May God help us. Modern religion. Are you going for this modern religion? Are you going for that old time stuff? You remember how we was out in the wilderness and come across that Red Sea? And how Moses and the men began to sing standing at the Red Sea. And Miriam led the women out in the wilderness and they began to sing also and worship God. Said, that's old time religion. Hey, fellas, I'm telling you, you ought to have been at Tabernacle. I wish to God I could have had this crowd at Tabernacle in 1983, 84, and 85. All of you. I wish I could have had you down there. Praise God, I'm talking about going to camp meeting and swinging from the rafters of the amen of the Tabernacle. Sliding up and down tent poles, amen. I mean, just, hey, going out in cornfields and friends shaking hands with ears of corn. Amen. Running around through the bushes shaking hands with trees. Somebody said, you really do that? Son, I'm telling you, I've seen it get so wild. God get on you so much, you just about lose your mind. Now, somebody said, I don't believe that. Believe what you want to believe. I'm telling you, I've been there. I'm talking about old-time religion, boys. We want old-time religion or we want the modern stuff. We want to close down church on New Year's Day or whenever it is and watch the Super Bowl. Buy one of them 48 giant screamers in here and put over the baptistry hole back there and watch the Super Bowl. Toilet bowl is more like it. Huh? I would if you'd help me. Now, then I want to notice number two, not only the demand that was made, but the danger that confronted them. There was a failing to make the right choice.
Amen.
If you make the wrong choice, if they had made the wrong choice, may I say there's a dead-end street waiting on you.
Amen.
Anytime you make a wrong choice, somebody said, preacher, you believe that? I sure do. Old Lot looked down at the well-watered plains of Jordan and said, that's the way I'm going. And it looked good with these eyes, but it wasn't too good to the spiritual man. And I'm telling you, Lot run into a dead end when he got to Sodom and Gomorrah. He lost his family in that sin and wickedness. Amen. Then come out and committed incest with his own two girls and raised up two tribes of people that were thorns in the flesh of Israel all the days of their life. His life come to a dead end, friend. What about Naomi? Went down into the land of, left Bethlehem, Judea. And went down into Moab. She hit a dead end street. She lost her husband, both of her sons. And she told the people, said, I went out empty, a fool, and came home empty. And said, don't call me Naomi, call me Myra. Said, I went out fool and I came home bitter.
Yeah.
I'm bitter. Now I'm here to tell you, you make that wrong choice and wind up on a dead end. I'm telling you, the decisions that you make in life do matter. I don't care how old or how young, and especially you young people, the decisions you make now will guide your life, all of your life. A decision you make today may affect you 10 years down the road from now. You better make right decisions. I'm just telling you. And one of those is choosing whom you're going to serve. I could name you people, my brother, that live up in your area that I know personally, that's been in this church. That used to serve the Lord. But they made a decision years ago. And that decision led them down a dead end street. That ain't who some of y'all are thinking about. I can tell you that right now. So you can loosen up and I'll go ahead and preach to you. It led them down a dead-end street, friend. They wound up in an adulterous affair with another woman, living out in Missouri with her, trying to run a youth camp out there, and had nothing to do with their own wife. Come on now.
Amen.
They made a choice. They made a decision. They left the Lord. Rather than serving God, they would rather serve their flesh, and their flesh done exactly what it does every time. It let them down and failed them.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. You better believe what I'm telling you is right. I had to hate to get so plain there, but some of you will figure out maybe who it is after a while. Amen. And then there was also the danger of forsaking the Lord. And he said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And here's what they said about it. They said in verse 16, the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve strange gods. And Joshua said, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. Now, do you believe the Bible?
Amen.
God said, the Lord said, if you turn after you've served me and serve other gods, he said, then I'm going to turn on you and do you harm and not good.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't believe the Lord would do that. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about that unclean spirit in Luke chapter number 11? That went out of a house and left it and come back and found it all swept and garnished. Boy, it's cleaned up nice. Only one problem, God didn't live there. Wasn't no Holy Ghost at home. And he went out and got seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And the Bible said, and they went in and dwell there. And the last estate of that man was worse than the first. Now, I'm here to tell you, it's going to be hard on people that have served God and got bent out of joint, or left God for some reason, or maybe they wasn't even saved and they left God. I'm telling you, it's going to be rough on them in the latter end, worse than it was in the beginning.
Amen.
You know, God showed me something in that today I've never seen before in all my life. It's amazing how God will show you just little tidbits, and I know you won't get much out of this, but he said, and they enter in and get this, and they dwell there. It didn't say it, and they dwelled there. They dwell there. If I understand the word dwell, it's in present tense. So what Jesus is telling us, those eight wicked spirits, seven and one make eight, they're still in that man.
Amen.
In hell, they're still in that man. Now you get a load of that, friend.
Amen.
Living in hell with eight demons in you for all eternity. That, read the Bible. They dwell. They dwell in him.
Amen.
God help us. And I want to say right off, I don't believe a saved man can be indwelt by a demon.
Amen.
God ain't going to live in the same house with the devil. Amen.
Amen.
And then the duties that awaited them. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. There's some duties involved there. To serve. That, now I looked that word up. It means to work, to till, or to be a husbandman. In other words, he's talking about, hey, choose the Lord. Serve the Lord by going in and possessing the land. Serve the Lord by cultivating the land. Serve the Lord by harvesting the land. He said, the land that the Lord has given you. Somebody said, preacher, the Lord hadn't given me any land. What are you going to do about those pieces of your heart that the Spirit of God has given you? Now, don't come to this junk with me. I don't even want to hear it. I'm telling you, when you got saved, you got all of Him. But He sure to God didn't get all of you and I.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, there's regions of our heart that we still don't possess. If we possess it, that means we're clean there. But if there's some sin in our life, we're not possessing that part of our heart. And God, that's what He's saying there. He said, you need to go in and possess that heart. You need to cultivate that heart. And you need to harvest the fruit from that heart for the glory and honor of Almighty God.
Amen.
Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. Man's, said man's works are always revealing. Titus 1:16, the Bible said, they profess that they know me, know God, but in works, they deny Him. In works, they deny Him. We're not saved by works, but works certainly does prove our faith to those around us. Hey, don't tell me you're saved if you've got dead works. Your faith is dead without works. That's what James said. Amen. Well, I'm not giving too much help on this. The Pharisees, the Lord said about the Pharisees, He said, oh, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not.
Amen.
In other words, they'll tell you what to do, but they wouldn't do it themselves if they had to. That's a Pharisee.
Amen.
They don't mind telling everybody else what to do, but they ain't about to do it themselves. I've told you before, I wasn't too good out in Arizona to put that fist down in a toilet bowl, buddy, when she was round full, and unstop that toilet bowl with my bare hands. I wasn't too good at Rumsey to mow the grass and put lime in the one-seater out back to varnish them little old pews over there that the women complained about snagging their pantyhose on all the time, tearing their skirts and dresses up. Every day they'd go, every Sunday they'd go out there, they'd have that old English furniture polished all over their clothes. Some of them just about cussed me out sometime, I think, under their breath. I want everything to look good, though. We put old English on everything. We thought it was a cure for every problem. Amen. If I'd have thought it had helped me after they got done chewing me out, I'd have drank a bottle of it. Amen. But we put on everything. But, you know, some people will tell you to do something, but they won't do it themselves. Some preachers tell you what you ought to do, but then they don't do it. They tell you how you ought to dress, but then they don't dress that way. They tell you how you ought to live, but they don't live that way. They're Pharisees. They're hypocrites. Come on in the house now. I won't say man's work is rewarding. It blesses the heart to know that we have done something and done it well. Don't you get a blessing out of doing something for God and somebody saying thank you?
Amen.
That was a blessing to me. And knowing you've done what you did well, and got thanked for it. Makes you feel good to do something for somebody else. It absolutely does. And at the judgment seat, Jesus said, if any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. What about that? There are rewards for our works.
Amen.
For our works. Somebody says, oh, we're going to be judged for sin at the judgment seat. No, no. It's going to be our works that are judged at the judgment seat. Amen. And the works that we have done with the right motive, there will be a reward out of that. But I'm telling you, if our motive is not right, it's wood, hay, and stubble. And buddy, she'll be burnt up. There will be no reward. There will be a loss of reward rather than a gain of reward.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Listen what it says. There's regrets. Man's work can be regretful. In the same chapter, in verse number 25, he said, if a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. That'd be terrible. That'd be terrible to get to heaven and lose the rewards that we've labored and worked so diligently here on earth for. God help us. Wouldn't it be so terrible to get so close to home and walk off and leave God? I've thought about some preachers. I've got one on my heart right now that I love like a brother. And I believe he is a brother. And all of you in here will know who I'm talking about. But he got into sin and had to get out of the ministry. Now I'm telling you I don't believe I've ever had anything to break my heart in the ministry any more than that did. Now I think about him a whole lot. Now I wonder what him and his family's doing. I'm satisfied he's saved, Brother Robert. But I'm telling you what, I'm also afraid at the judgment seat and his works are tried by fire, there'll be nothing left.
Amen.
But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some weeping and some moaning and some gnashing of teeth at the judgment seat because we've lost those rewards. I'd hate to think that I'd served God all my life or for years and just right next to the trumpet sounding, walking off and leaving God, quitting on God. Stop serving the Lord. Get my toe over the line. You'd be surprised. The Baptist that's walking around with a chip on their shoulder and their toe at the edge of the line just waiting to slip it over and knock the chip off. To give them an excuse to fly off or give them an excuse to say something. Give them an excuse to quit. People are looking for excuses. I'm telling you, I've heard so many of them. Brother Troy, I'm sick of hearing excuses. Why people can't serve God anymore.
Amen.
I've heard everything under the sun. I believe I've heard everything that can be told. Well, I got hurt down at that church. Well, I'd rather get hurt than I would to burn in hell all my life. Poor little feeling, stretched out, bless God, like a hog gut being butchered. Get stepped on. And I got hurt down there. I got offended. The preacher offended me. And a lot of them will tell you, you said something you didn't even say.
Right.
Amen, brethren. I've had them right here to do that. I had a woman who walked out the back door back there one day, and she said, I'm going to tell you something, young man. She said, I've been married so long to my husband, and he ain't never told me I couldn't wear pants, and you ain't telling me either. You know what? About a month before she died, she called me and Miss Hall over to her house, give us some pie she had baked, give Miss Hall one of these little old dishes made out of what carnival glass dishes, and just sat there and wept and cried and told me, I'm sorry what I said to you. I'm sorry for what I said to you. I felt so sorry for that person. Are you listening to me? But I'm going to tell you, she got so close and quit. So close and quit. Served the Lord so long and quit over one little offense. If I quit every time I was offended with somebody, I'd have quit 300,000 times. I'm going to tell you, I learned a long time ago to be a Christian, buddy, you've got to have, are you listening now? You've got to have a skin like a rhinoceros and a heart as big as God.
Amen.
You ain't let everything somebody says soak in on you. I mean, every little word, if it does, son, it'll drive you crazy. Brush it off and go on down the road. That's what I'm telling you. That's exactly what I just brush her off and go on down the road. Then the decision that Joshua made. And here's where I'm really going to make some of you mad. But anyway, I reckon you'll get over it. Joshua said, but it's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. He made his decision. And I don't want to offend nobody. But he said, me and my house. And I just wrote down here in notes. I said, I can't find anywhere here he asked his wife what she thought about it. Or what he asked Junior about it. Our problem today is we got so many men wimps that won't leave their home. And many of them are lost and on their way to hell. And it leaves it to the woman to try to take care not only of the home but the spiritual values of that house as well. You can say amen or oh me, gentlemen. So many men won't do it. The wife's got to do it if it's going to get done. But when the Lord got his family, the Lord got everything else that goes with it, his finances included. He got everything. In other words, when the word house here goes beyond the idea of just people only, it includes everything that Joshua possessed. He said, everything that I have, Lord, is yours. He said, I intend to serve you with all of my heart. That's in basically what he's saying. All of my heart. All to thee I give. I surrender all. All to thee I give. Me and my house. Me and my all. Me and my everything. We're going to serve you. It's worth it, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, it'll be worth it in the end. It'll be worth it in the end. To make right choices in this life. And the best choice that you can make tonight is to make that commitment that you're going to continue serving the Lord no matter what. Hey, don't let nothing knock you out of the saddle.
Amen.
Nothing. Don't let nothing knock you out of the saddle. Buddy, I've had some things come my way. If I let things, I'd have been knocked out of the saddle a long time ago. Some people I dearly love and still fellowship with them. But they've said some things that have offended me and hurt me as bad as anybody I know. But I made up my mind, I'm going to go on serving God. Our relationship with Christ and your relationship with Christ doesn't depend on nobody but you and Him.
Amen.
Better get a hold of that. They cannot nobody keep you from serving Him but you. Are you listening? What are you going to do tonight? You going to serve the Lord? Are you going to serve the gods on the other side of the flood? Are you going to serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell? That's what it says. Let's stand together.